So we are discussing on the first canto, second verse. Today is the third day we are discussing on the same verse. Dharma prajjita koita vatra paramo nirmat saranam satam vedyang vastava matra vastu shivadang taputrayanun mulanam Shrimad Bhagavate Mahamunikrite Kingba Parairisharaha Saddo Riddhavarudhateatra Kriti Bhishushu Bhistatkhanat. Translation: completely rejecting all religious activities which are materially motivated, this Bhagavat Puran propounds the highest truth, which is understandable by those devotees who are fully pure in heart. The highest truth is reality distinguished from illusion for the welfare of all. Such truth uproots the threefold miseries. This beautiful Bhagavatam, compiled by the great sage Vyasadev in his maturity, is sufficient in itself for God realization. What is the need of any other scripture? As soon as one attentively and submissively hears this message of Bhagavatam, by this culture of knowledge, the Supreme Lord is established within his heart. It's a long verse, but it's very important. So let us just consider a few points here. There is an expression here as dharma prajjita koitava. What is the meaning of these three words? Dharma means religiosity, and prajjita means rejecting completely, and koitava means cheating. So, rejecting all cheating religion. And Prabhupada has translated Koitava as the dharma that is materially motivated. Materially motivated. Materially motivated. What, that means, what should be the purpose of dharma? Religiosity, religious activity. The purpose of dharma should be spiritual advancement. But if it does not go for spiritual activities or spiritual elevation, but this dharma is used for material enjoyment, like by performing dharma, one gets artha, means makes economic development, and by making economic development, he fulfills his desires to enjoy. So this is koitava dharma, or cheating dharma. It's not real dharma. It's going on in the name of dharma, but it is not real dharma. Therefore, we found at the end of Bhagavad Gita, what did Krishna say? Sarva dharman parityajya. Same point. Sarva dharman parityajya, dharma prajjita. But here it is specifically pointing out. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna didn't specifically point it out, indirectly pointed out. Rejecting all religion, surrender unto Krishna. So that means, what is the real religion? Surrendering to Krishna. And in order to surrender to Krishna, we should give up all other purposes of dharma. That is called koitava dharma. Sarva dharman parityajya mam ekam sharanam braja. Didn't Krishna say that he comes to establish dharma? Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata. Krishna comes to establish dharma, and now Krishna says, reject all dharma. So what is Krishna asking to reject? that is going on in the name of dharma, but actually is not dharma. If the purpose of dharma or if the purpose of religion is, oh God, give us our daily bread. Oh God, give us material success. Oh God, give us a lot of money. Is this dharma? No. Should we approach God for all these? One can approach God for all this when one is at a neophyte stage, when one is materially motivated. Then he can say, okay, fine, God. I mean, then when he asks, God, give me this, give me that, it's okay. Because he's at a neophyte stage, like a child. A child may tell the father, Daddy, give me this, give me that, give me this, give me that. Then the daddy may say, okay, fine. But when the child grows up, does he want these things from daddy? Give me this, give me that. No. Rather, at that time, he thinks how to serve the father. So similarly, at an immature stage, one may want things from God. But at a mature stage, one should rather think of serving the Lord. So Bhagavatam is meant for those who are matured in spiritual life, matured individuals. Bhagavatam is advanced course. It's not for children anymore. Therefore, at the beginning, we are getting to understand who are qualified to study Srimad Bhagavatam. Dharma prajjita kaitavatra. Then the next point is paramo nirmat saranam satam. What does it mean? Nirmatsar means? Nirmatsar. Yeah. One is pure in heart. And literally the word nirmatsar. Matsar means envy. And nirmatsar means non-envious. When one is free from envy, then he becomes qualified. Beddam atravastu. Understand this information that will be provided in Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam is providing the Lord's pure activities. That is the purpose of Srimad Bhagavatam. Nirmat Saranam Satam. Satam again, Prabhupada is pointing out. Who is Satam? Sat means good. From Sat comes Satam. And from Sat comes Sant. From Sat comes saintly. So saintly personalities. Who are the saintly personalities? Who are non-envious. And as a result of understanding that, what happens? Shivadam. One becomes completely satisfied in heart. Shivadam, well-being. That is the real well-being of an individual. And then taputrayanam mulanam. Unmulanam means? Mul means root. And unmula means uproot. Uproot. So taputraya means threefold miseries. What are the threefold miseries? Threefold miseries are? Jagannath, what are the threefold miseries?
Distress is caused by one's own body, distress is caused by others, and distress is caused by nature.
Nature, okay. Yeah, so these are the threefold miseries. The miseries caused by one's body and mind. That is called adhi atmik. Misery is caused by other living entities, adi bhautik. Misery is caused by demigods or natural calamities. So adi daivik. Adi daivik. Daivik. Before adi bhautik. Adi bhautik. Adi atmik, adi bhautik, adi daivik. So these are the threefold miseries. What happens? Is everyone suffering from threefold miseries? Krishna Kishore, do you become sick once in a while? And when you become sick, how do you feel? So, in this way, everyone is going through this threefold misery. Either from body and mind, either caused in pain caused by others, or caused by natural calamity. So, everyone is subjected to the threefold miseries. But when one takes shelter of Srimad Bhagavatam, then what happens? Taputraya, this threefold miseries, unmulanam, becomes uprooted. And Prabhupada is giving a very nice example in that respect. Like, if you cut the tree, then the tree may come up again. Right? We notice, often, the tree has been cut, but new branches start to come up. But if you uproot the tree, then the chances of growing is not there again. Taputrayan unmulanam. And in this Srimad Bhagavatam, Vyasadeva has given perfect spiritual understanding. So when you have the perfect knowledge, when you are aware of the perfect wisdom, is there any need to go to any other books? So what's the use, what's the need of other books when we have Srimad Bhagavatam given by Srila Vyasadeva? So Srimad Bhagavatam is the perfect scripture for making spiritual advancement, ultimate spiritual advancement. Other books may be misleading. There are so many books, and people do get misled. Like there are six different branches of darshan, philosophy. But Prabhupada pointed out that those six branches of darshans are actually six rungs of a ladder. Now, what is the purpose of the ladder? To go to the top. Now, if somebody gets stuck on the first rung and thinks that this is mine, will that be proper? Second rung, third rung, fourth rung, fifth rung. Then sixth rung on top. So, that is what Srimad Bhagavatam is giving. The perfect understanding. So, when one gets Srimad Bhagavatam, what's the need for any other literatures? Only thing is that will substantiate the knowledge of Srimad Bhagavatam. That is what is necessary. We need Bhagavad Gita. Why? To come up to the level of Bhagavatam. We need Chaitanya Charitamrita. Why? To go beyond Srimad Bhagavatam. Practical application of Srimad Bhagavatam. We need Nectar of Devotion to understand Srimad Bhagavatam. So Bhagavatam is in the center and all the other scriptures are the supporting scriptures. So that is how we get the perfect understanding. Sadda riddhavaruddhate atra avaruddhate. Prabhupada is translating that expression is, when is the need of any other scripture? As soon as one attentively and submissively hears the message of Bhagavatam, by this culture of knowledge, the Supreme Lord is established within his heart. So when we understand Srimad Bhagavatam, what do we understand? That Krishna is situated in our hearts. Bahir Nishingha, Ridaye Nishingha. Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Nrisimhadev, is outside and also inside. So this is how we have to recognize the purpose of Srimad Bhagavatam. When you understand Srimad Bhagavatam, then you get to see that Krishna is not so far away. Krishna is within our hearts. Kritivi shushushuvi statkanat. Immediately that awareness comes to us. And how wonderful that realization is, that Krishna is within our hearts. The yogis spend millions of years, thousands of years, just to see the Lord within the heart. But by reading Srimad Bhagavatam, we immediately get to see the Lord. Thank you, Hare Krishna. Yes, we will.
So, it seems like the idea of being non-envious and also not to be miserly, it's quite difficult because the world programs people to want everything for themselves and not to give everything to others. Whereas the Srimad Bhagavatam is asking the living entity to acknowledge the Lord in the heart and to become more abundant, less selfish, less envious. So you can't just wake up in the morning and just give everything away. That would be ridiculous. But how does one begin on the path of becoming non-envious and non-miserly?
Yeah. See, that is the point we discussed before also. Why it's saying non-envious, nirmatsar? For three reasons we consider that one becomes non-envious. One is, envy is the last of the six impediments. Lust, greed, anger, illusion, pride and envy. So when you have reached the last one, that means all others have been cleared out. So that is the result of Krishna consciousness. Due to Krishna consciousness, we become free from lust, anger, illusion, pride, and envy. So the answer to that is that it is only Krishna consciousness that makes us non-envious. Now, why do we become envious, actually? We become envious due to a false ego. And what is false ego? We know false ego means mistaken identity, wrong identity, false ego. But what is a wrong identity? In the material nature is inferior, Krishna's external energy. But we, the jivas, are Krishna's internal energy. So by nature we are superior. And the superior's tendency is to dominate over the inferior. So as soon as we come in contact with the material nature, we develop this tendency to dominate over the material nature. And so, because, you see, we are seeing everything as matter, whereas I am spirit. Within me, I am spirit, but everyone else is matter. Everything else is matter. Therefore, the tendency is that I am superior and therefore my enjoyment.
So you're saying that this vision overlaps not only to the inanimate objects, but people
also. Because we are not seeing the soul. We are seeing the body.
And therefore the tendency to dominate.
To dominate, yeah. Or think I am better than everybody else. The tendency is because I'm seeing the matter part of him. I'm not seeing the spiritual part of him. Therefore the only way we can be freed from that tendency is by coming in contact with the superior energy. Krishna. When you come in contact with Krishna, he is the supreme, and then in the light of that supreme, I am totally insignificant. Therefore, we can become free from envy, because there is no false ego, therefore there is no envy. Okay, so this is one reason, like, because of our false ego that we think that we are superior. And another way of becoming free from envy is through love. The example I gave, the son became very successful. How does the father feel? The whole world may think, whole world may feel envious about him, but how does the father or mother feel? They feel proud because they have their love. So we don't feel envy towards those who we love. So love is the way to overcome envy. So, and that all these is possible by being Krishna conscious. So, you know, like, I mean, through love we may be non-envious towards those who are close to me, those who I love, but that cannot spread to everyone. But you know, like here, the thing is, the objective is to feel, you know, feel the love for everybody. Now that will happen only when we develop our love for Krishna. Like Prabhupada used to say, love me, love my dog. If you love me, then you love my dog. If we love Krishna, then we love those who are dear to Krishna, Krishna's devotees. So, as you ask, like, how to get free from envy, the answer is actually Krishna consciousness. People may not have.
They may be reading the Bhagavatam and they may feel that they want to improve that aspect. But I notice, in order to understand that person as spiritual, you have to talk to them and hear from them. Like, we have two ears and one mouth. So, you know, hearing from people. And I notice when you meet strangers, you talk to them, and then you establish a relationship, and then they love you and you care about them. Like with the RV guy, I mean the kitchen guy. These are just the people, like, most of us will walk in and see, okay, what do you do, this, that, and this. But you established a relationship with him. So is that a way to become non-envious also, is to penetrate through and see the soul inside?
Yeah, you can say that.
Is this a kind of technique?
Like, I don't know in this respect whether I can say that I am seeing the soul, but I am seeing here's an opportunity to, you know, establish ourselves in here, developing relationship, so that, you know, they can help us in our preaching mission. And also the other thing is that I found that them to be so nice. So it was a natural reciprocation, you know, like, I mean, yeah.
Would you say that devotees need to communicate more?
Yeah. Yeah. Preaching means communication. Preaching means communication. And actually also false ego means, you know, we are within our this concealed, you know, identity. So self-centered. I don't really want to know anybody. I don't want to hear anybody, I don't want to see anybody, unless they're glorifying me. That is envy, you know. Oh, you're very nice, you're saying so many nice things about me. And he, okay, I don't want to see him. The guy doesn't even look at me. I mean, that's a natural tendency, you know, we reciprocate. The way Jai Jatha Krishna is also saying, Jai Jatha Man Prapadante. As one acts towards me, I reciprocate accordingly. those who love me, I love them. It's natural. Thank you, Guru Prabhu. Any other question? Do you have a question? Okay, I thought you. Okay. I can't see Krishna Kishore. He safely covered himself with his iPhone. Jagannath. No? Okay. Yeah. Krishna is saying that this material nature is his inferior energy. Mm-hmm. And Jiva Bhutan, the living entities, are coming from his Parashakti or superior energy. So therefore, we have a natural tendency to exploit or dominate over this material nature. Okay, Hare Krishna.